Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. It's just you and me. I got a story I want to tell you, something you need to know about the internet before we give away the last piece of internet property that the United States owns. And I want to do it by telling you a story of innovation bordering on the miraculous, scientific stewardship driven by professionalism and shared values, and global leadership that qualifies as agape, and the possibility that all three could be headed for an intersection where the best intentions of good people could be in jeopardy. Approximately 23 years ago, you and I were given access to the internet, an invention that a generation earlier would have been considered science fiction. Most experts define the headwaters of this seminal invention to be the digital protocol work of Bob Kahn and Vint Cerf, both researchers for a division of the U.S. government. Subsequent to its commercialization, these two and a few other geniuses created a number of digital innovations that enabled the internet and established it as an unprecedented resource. The U.S. government, the United States owned all of that. Here's the first question. How did the rest of the world get the internet if we owned it, if we had it? Since it was initially considered part of national defense, all of this mad scientist stuff was funded by the government's National Science Foundation and various contractors. As it became evident that the internet had commercial applications, the U.S. began sharing with the world what we knew and what we had. Nothing was withheld, enabling the internet to rise in every corner of the world. Second question, who operates the internet? Think of it like a private toll road. The U.S. government allowed private investment to create intersected computer networks, interconnected and intersected computer networks, into a backbone system that, for a toll, delivers our digital business around the world using the protocols created by those guys, Kahn and Cerf, and later applications like browsers to help make that happen. Similarly, more private investment built out the infrastructure to transfer digital info from the backbone to the last mile users. That's like you and me get this information to and from you and me out here at the last mile at the speed of light. Private investment did that. American private investment. Third question, who's in charge of internet governance? Who's running the internet, right? Who runs the internet is more complicated to explain, but it's important because of the intersection thing that I mentioned earlier. In fact, the U.S. government allowed Mr. Kahn and Mr. Cerf and others to create governing bodies like the Internet Society, the Internet Engineering Task Force, and other organizations to oversee governance, access, and standards for the global proliferation of the internet. The Internet Society, which is the incorporated parent of two of those organizations, has 80,000 stakeholders and 110 chapters in 140 countries. That's a lot of shared governance with one goal, a free and open internet without politics. The reason I'm telling you about the origin and the governance of the internet is because a very important last piece of U.S. direct influence of an internet possession is about to be lost. The 18-year contract between the U.S. government and the Internet Corporation of Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN, you've heard me talk about this before. ICANN's contract expires September 30th, 2016. When you create a new website, it actually has two addresses, the name, ABC Supply Company, that's for you and me humans, and it has a number. A number looks like 207.111.167.145. That's a number. ICANN manages the name and number. The name and the number go to the same location. When you type either the number or the name or the .com, the URL, into a browser, it goes to the same location. So according to NetChoice, director Steve DelBianco, you heard him on the show not long ago, back in 2014, the Obama administration instructed ICANN to create and transfer itself to a global multi-stakeholder community. Read that as no longer owned by the government. So on my radio program recently, you heard Steve report that this body has created and will take over, this global body will take over October 1st. As part of the transitioning team, DelBianco said the new ICANN will be not unlike the other bodies mentioned earlier who've been governing the internet for decades. That's the good news. Here's the last question. If the internet had been the property of Russia, China, or France, for example, would access and control of such a powerful resource have been so freely shared? I think not. Consequently, in spite of my confidence in Steve DelBianco and his transition colleagues over at ICANN, I've been very outspoken in the past 3 years against this plan for ICANN. I'm concerned about the loss of the last thread of direct influence by the U.S. government. I'm worried about what will happen if when we reach that intersection I talked about, in the future, where global and multi-stakeholder organizations who've governed so dispassionately and without ideology for years could somehow become influenced or overridden by bad actor states, or possibly worse, the United Nations. Folks, you heard me talk about this 15 years ago. I was reporting on this show about how the United Nations coveted control of the internet. So many countries inside of the UN, they bristled at the idea that the United States had so much sway over the internet, even though we weren't wielding any of it. We weren't controlling the internet. We contracted that out to a private body. The United States was not telling people how to use the internet. We gave it away, but we still owned. We could always pull it back if we had to. We could control some of the governance. Well, the UN's always been coveting of that. The United States, my friends, is the most benevolent broker on the planet, has never let geopolitics influence internet access or governance. With so many experts projecting the cyber attacks pose a more imminent threat to our sovereignty than nuclear weapons, I fear the best-intentioned internet governors and investors may ultimately be no match for someone named Putin or Khomeini or Jong-un or their proxies. Let's pray, my friends, that the world doesn't regret America's divesting of this last vestige of U.S. internet ownership and control.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.